All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Nebraska is now open for the transaction of business. Draw nigh, all ye having business with this Honorable Court, and ye shall be heard. God save the State of Nebraska and this Honorable Court.
Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning to everyone. We will begin with introductions from the court. My name is Mike Hevigan, and I am the Chief Justice. And now, by order of seniority, as to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller-Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Stephanie Stacy. Good morning.
Good morning. I am Jeff Funk.
I'm Jonathan Papik. Good morning.
And John Friedenberg is recused on the first case. He will join us for the remainder of the cases today. And the first case is Haynes versus Department of Correctional Services. I don't believe anyone is here on behalf of Mr. Haynes. So that means Mr. Young, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This is an appeal from the district court's order affirming the department's finding that Mr. Haynes violated Department Rule 5-1-H, drug or intoxicant abuse. The underlying disciplinary proceedings did not meet Mr. Haynes' subjective expectations, so he has challenged them for violating his right to procedural due process. The two are not the same. The court should reject Mr. Haynes' appeal for three reasons. First, the court lacks jurisdiction, as Mr. Haynes did not properly perfect his appeal and did not comply with a court order requesting additional information as to his request to proceed in forma pauperis. Second, turning to the merits, Mr. Haynes asked this court to read a new implied testing right into a department rule that is not supported by the rule's language. Third, Mr. Haynes challenges the reliability of Corporal Foskett's statements at the Institutional Disciplinary Committee hearing and asks this court to impose an overly stringent evidentiary standard on disciplinary proceedings that is incompatible with their sui generis nature. Turning first to the matter of jurisdiction, this court lacks jurisdiction for two reasons. First, Mr. Haynes' in forma pauperis affidavit did not comply with a necessary requirement of the in forma pauperis statutes. Specifically, Nebraska Revised Statute, Chapter 25, Section 2301.01, requires a poverty affidavit state that the affiant is unable to pay the fees and costs or give security required to proceed with the case. Per this court's decision in State v. Schmeisel, this requirement is jurisdictional, and accordingly, as with most jurisdictional requirements, it must be strictly construed. Mr. Haynes' poverty affidavit only speaks to his current sources of funds. This is insufficient as it does not speak to his ability to pay. As Mr. Haynes
Can we infer from the fact that he makes 24 cents a day that he doesn't have the ability to pay? Is that appropriate to make that determination?
No, Your Honor. Again, if you look at the statute, and because this is a jurisdictional element that must be strictly construed, it explicitly states that an individual must state that they do not have an ability to pay.
Magic words are required.
Yes, Your Honor. That is the state's position.
What has this court said in State v. Jones back in 2002 with respect to this state of affairs on IFP?
Your Honor, could you please clarify, are you referring to the holding that essentially the district court's failure to rule or otherwise object to a in forma pauperis application does not divest this court of jurisdiction?
If there's a timely notice and a proper affidavit and no ruling, does this court have jurisdiction?
Your Honor, that poses an interesting question. So, broadly speaking, the state questions the continued validity of Haynes in light of the fact that the underlying case...
Maybe Jones.
Pardon?
You said continuing validity of Haynes.
I apologize, Your Honor.
Yeah, yeah.
State versus Jones,
yes.
In light of the fact that it relied on a sole case in right interest of NLB and the particular holding in that case, which was that, of course, this court obtains jurisdiction upon the timely filing of an affidavit, appears to have been superseded by statute based on the 1999 amendments to the Informa Pauperis statute. In light of that, the state questions whether or not State versus Jones continues to be good law, and this would be an opportunity to clarify that matter, Your Honor.
Did Mr. Haynes use a court form in applying for Informa Pauperis status, or develop his own pleading, his own form?
Your Honor, in this case, Mr. Haynes used his own form. So there are actually two applications to proceed Informa Pauperis that are in the record. Both are contained in the fifth supplemental transcript. The first one is actually the one that he submitted to the district court. And that one was a form that clearly shows that Mr. Haynes knows how to submit a proper affidavit. It contains a direct statement that states that he is unable to pay the costs and fees associated with the appeal. However, when he sought to proceed Informa Pauperis in front of this court, he submitted a handwritten affidavit that did not include that information.
What are we to make of the district court's order of October 17, 2022, asking for additional information from Mr. Haynes regarding his ability to pay?
Well, Your Honor, again, if this is a case where the court concludes that the application was defective, that would render the ultimate order a legal nullity.
Let's assume we don't decide that the application was defective, and we then focus on the issue of our cases who have said the court, appellate jurisdiction is vested once the affidavit and the application have been filed.
Yes.
Now we have, after those things have happened, we have this order from the district court that says, give me more information, and if you don't do so, I'm going to deny your application and dismiss this case. What are we make of that order? What is that order?
Well, Your Honor, there are a couple decisions to make there, and to be quite candid with you, it is not 100% clear to the department, which is why in its initial brief it stated it was uncertain. But
is that an objection by the court? The statute talks about the court's own motion to object. Is that an objection?
Your Honor, it would appear that way because the statutory language only provides two options, a grant or an objection, by virtue of the fact that it did not appear to be an express grant, it could very well be considered or construed as an objection, Your Honor.
So if it's an objection and it's not on frivolous grounds, the statute requires an evidentiary hearing.
Yes, Your Honor.
Did the court set an evidentiary hearing?
The record does not reflect that the court set an evidentiary hearing, Your Honor.
And the court never ruled on the application. The court neither granted it, nor denied it, nor dismissed the appeal.
Well, Your Honor, again, the order itself at this point in time contains language that states that if Mr. Haynes did not provide the district court with the sufficient or with the information requested within 30 days, it would be denied. And of course, I would like to, of course, address that Mr. Haynes did not file an interlocutory appeal challenging this order under 25-2301.02, and he has not raised any errors pertaining to it as part of his appeal. And that itself should be sufficient and dispositive here to divest this court of jurisdiction. However, if the court
does... Well, did the court ever enter an order denying the application or dismissing the case?
No, Your Honor. The record reflects that the October 18th, 2022 order is the sole order that is on file in regards to Mr. Haynes' Informa Pauperis application.
Are you taking the position that a district court has the power to dismiss a properly perfected appeal to a higher court?
Your Honor, could you please repeat your question?
I said, are you taking the position that a district court has the power to dismiss an appeal when jurisdiction has properly been perfected?
Your Honor, to the extent it is permitted by statute, which would be 2301.02, The district court may, if there is a problem and an objection is raised to the sufficiency of the affidavit. Otherwise, Your Honor, no.
Well, they could deny the motion to proceed in forma pauperis, but they can't dismiss an appeal in the appellate court, can they? No. District court judge?
No, they cannot, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, let's assume we're on the merits. What's your position there?
Your Honor, turning to the merits, the state's position is, of course, that the district court's order should be affirmed. Mr. Haynes raises two alleged errors on appeal. First, in regards to whether or not Rule 009.01, which I will note for the court has subsequently been changed to Rule 008.01, provides him with a right to request an independent, or essentially, pardon me, a department-administered drug test at his request. And the state's position is that the rule does not, Your Honor. The language of the rule is clear that it is limited to independent confirmation testing and urinalysis testing. And this does not support Mr. Haynes' desired right that he would have the opportunity to request the department undertake an initial test of both himself as well as the evidence that may have, that was or was not in this case collected during the initial events at issue. And this case is a clear example of why such a right was not created under the rule, which is that Mr. Haynes requested this drug test over a week after his misconduct charge and the events that occurred on February 27, 2002. Thus, any result would likely be irrelevant as it would not tend to prove or disprove his state of intoxication or impairment on that night. Now, finally, turning to Mr. Haynes' evidentiary challenge, he challenges reliability of Corporal Foskett's statements at the Institutional Disciplinary Committee hearing. However, there is sufficient indicia of reliability present in the record to support Corporal Foskett's statements. Your Honor, I see I'm out of time.
You may finish.
Thank you. Your Honor, Corporal Foskett's statements are reliable for three reasons. First, the presence of drugs and drug paraphernalia is undisputed in the record. Second, per Mr. Haynes' cellmate, Mr. Dancer's statement, he was engaged in the act of smoking and was intoxicated or impaired during the events at issue. And third, Corporal Foskett had the opportunity to observe Haynes' behaviors and appearance simultaneous with the behaviors and appearances of Mr. Dancer. And from those observations, he clearly concluded that both were impaired. And that is sufficient indicia of reliability such that that presents substantial competent evidence supporting the district court's findings. Therefore, the state would respectfully request that this appeal be dismissed or otherwise the district court decision be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments in Haynes versus Department of Correctional Services. Counsel, you are excused. Justice Frydenberg is now joining the court in the next case of the day is State versus Appelhans.